Welcome to the Next Level Human Podcast. As a human, you have a job to do. In fact, you have four jobs: to earn and manage money, to attain and maintain health and fitness, to build and sustain personal relationships, to find meaning and make a difference. None of these jobs are taught in school, and that is what this podcast is designed to do: to educate us all on living our most fulfilled lives through the mastery of these four jobs. I'm your host, Dr. Jade Tita, and I believe we are here living this life for three reasons and three reasons only: to learn, to teach, and to love. In this podcast, I will be learning, teaching, and loving right along with you. I'm grateful to have your company. Here's to our next level. Welcome to today's show, everybody. Today's going to be an exciting episode for me, at least, and I hope it's going to be for you as well, because we're going to be talking about a system of exercise and eating that is a system that I really designed specifically for myself. This is the exact way that I eat and train and function in terms of trying to achieve sort of that holy grail that all of us are after: look good, feel good, live longer, function better. The system is what I call Metabolic 10. Now, this particular program has been a bestseller for me in the past. And when I sold my business and joined forces with Metabolic Living, my new company that I'm a minority owner in, my business partners and I agreed that I would not be releasing Metabolic 10 again as a standalone program. However, this year at Christmas, they have given me, coming up on the new year here, end of 2020, beginning of 2021, they have given me permission to relaunch this particular program. And I also, so there's a double sort of goal here. One, I want to tell you about the system because so many of you are interested in it. And two, many of you have been asking, what should I be doing if I am someone who actually loves exercise? Because you've heard me talk a lot about how exercise can actually backfire for many people who are trying to specifically lose body fat. It's a catch-22, right? Because in a sense, you need to exercise and exercise in a particular way if you're going to achieve the look of an athlete. At the same time, if your major focus is weight loss and fat loss, we know that about 75% of people, depending on the research that you look at, 75% of people will not respond to exercise in the way that they want in relation to weight loss. In other words, they will overcompensate with food, and only about 25% of people who start exercise programs lose weight as a result of those exercise programs. Everyone else either stays the same, and there's about a quarter of people that actually gain weight because their hunger goes up. And the major study, by the way, that I'm taking this information from is a study on postmenopausal women where they did traditional aerobic-based exercise, 30 to 60 minutes, five times per week, and then watched to see, and this was with no change in diet, and they watched to see what happened as a result of this exercise, keeping diet stable. Well, obviously, if you start to exercise and burn calories through exercise, you should be able to create a calorie deficit. And that's what they planned on doing. They basically structured exercise in a way that would create a calorie deficit, leaving diet the same for everyone. What they actually showed is that by doing more exercise, they also stimulated hunger, and 75% of people overcompensated with food, leading to either lack of any weight loss progress or actually weight gain. Only 25% actually lost weight. And so that's the particular study, and I'll try to remember to link that particular study for you in the notes to this particular episode on my site, jtita.com, under the podcast. But ultimately, what Metabolic 10 is Metabolic 10 is ultimately an athletic training program. This is an eat more, exercise more program, and it is a complete program with exercise, and diet. Now, I am going to be launching this. Most everyone listening to this particular program, this podcast, will not be buying this. You may not be interested in buying this program. That does not matter because I'm going to basically teach you the method behind it, hoping you can design your own program, right? So the idea here is that obviously there are going to be people who need help. Obviously, Metabolic 10 is a program I'm going to be offering this year, perhaps for the last time, given that I need special permission to release it. But I also want to clue you in this discussion on how you would design and go about thinking about designing a workout program that is going to basically achieve the two things that we want, which is to hopefully do what the body does not do well, which is multitask, build muscle and or maintain it at least, and burn fat by eating more and exercising more. So let's first talk about this metabolic toggle that I call the Eat More, Exercise More toggle, or EMEM. To distinguish it from other types of approaches like eat less, exercise more, or eat more, exercise less, that would be the dieter, eat less, exercise more, and the couch potato, eat more, exercise less. And then there's another protocol that I oftentimes talk about or toggle, which is called the eat less, exercise less toggle. And if you're interested in these toggles, I believe I talk about them in episodes 11 and 12, I believe, of this podcast. You can go back and make sure that you listen to those two episodes if you want to really understand all four of these metabolic toggles. And this particular episode is going to be focused on the EMEM toggle. So what is Metabolic 10? Well, the marketing behind Metabolic 10 is essentially 10 moves, 10 foods, perfect 10 body. Now, this might sound like good marketing. It actually is designed to be super simple. 10 moves, 10 foods, perfect 10 body. So in a sense, you might say, all right, well, Jade, well, how are you developing this in a sense? Well, first, let's cover some background here about eat more, exercise more. Then we'll get into essentially the 10, at least the 10 foods. And if we have time, we'll get into sort of the 10 moves as well. But I want to give you a background in this. Now, eat more, exercise more is about creating a calorie deficit if you're wanting fat loss through exercise. In other words, most of us want to look and function like athletes, right? When we look out in the world, we essentially go, I want to look like an athlete. I want to be lean. I want to be fit. I want to have muscles and look like I'm fit, right? So one of these things is, it's interesting, right? When you go to a gym and you look around the gym, and you oftentimes look in different areas of the gym, perhaps, and you can look over in the cardio section, or you can look into the group exercise part of the gym, or you can look in the free weight section. Where do you see individuals who look the most fit? Well, you're usually going to see them around the weight training area, not in the cardio area, not necessarily in the group exercise area. Most of the fittest looking people will be in the weight training area. We also know through research that weight training, resistance exercise, is perhaps the most beneficial type of exercise to do for fat loss in particular. Why? It may not burn as many calories as cardio-based exercise during the workout, but it creates an afterburn effect long after the workout. So when you do resistance training, what you are essentially doing is you're burning some calories during the workout, but you're also continuing to burn calories after the workout as a result of recovery from that exercise session, repair from the damage that was done during that exercise session. And one of the things that resistance training does is it creates an adaptation response in the body where the body says, okay, if you're going to stress your muscles this way, this often, this intensely, I'm going to have to adapt. Not only am I going to have to recover and repair, I'm also going to have to adapt, which means laying down new muscle, laying down new collagen for ligaments and tendons and things like that. And so when you think about traditional exercise, group exercise, or cardio-based exercise compared to resistance training exercise, you basically will see very clearly that resistance training has some really profound benefits in terms of creating a metabolic ripple that lasts long after the workout's over. Think about it. If you do a really intense workout and you are sore 2 days later, your body is still working overtime to repair, to recover, to adapt from that particular workout. Now, at the same time, there's a couple other things you want to keep in mind here. We want to look good, yes. We want to feel good, live longer, function better. Now, to do that, we also want to have a full amount of fitness. We don't just want to be strong and big and bulky. We also want to have cardiovascular endurance. We want to have muscular endurance. We want to have anaerobic capacity and aerobic capacity. We want to have flexibility, right? We want to have all these different things. And so we don't just want to be a traditional lifter who just lifts weights and that's it. We also want to add in certain elements of fitness to help us move better, to help us be more fit, to help us be able to run if we need to, catch a flight if we need to, running through the airport, run up steps, carry groceries, you know, all of these things. We want to have fitness that is holistic in nature. And so to this resistance training background, we want to add in a cardio component. Now, there are many ways to add in a cardio component. You can do concurrent-based exercise where you do cardio first and then resistance training after, or resistance training first and cardio after, or you can do this merging of the two where you lift weights faster, so to speak, what we might call metabolic conditioning, where you're lifting weights as your primary genre of exercise, but you're taking less breaks between the lifting sets. In other words, you're not really having breaks. You're actually moving fast from one exercise to the next exercise to the next exercise, creating a cardiovascular response along with a resistance training response. Now, this looks a lot more like metabolic conditioning or things like CrossFit, right? When you essentially take bodybuilding or traditional strength training or powerlifting, and then you decrease the rest between sets or take the rests away completely, you immediately create more of a cardiovascular response. Now, this is what Metabolic 10 is designed to do. And it also is designed not just to burn calories, but it's designed to create a hormonal response in the body. Now, you've heard me talk an awful lot about HEC, hunger, energy, and cravings, and SHMEC, sleep, hunger, mood, energy, and cravings. These are acronyms that I use to describe the biofeedback sensations that are controlled or influenced by hormones. Well, when we work out, we also have some biofeedback sensations that can clue us in as to the hormonal effects of that exercise. I call these the B's and the H's of exercise. Two B's, two H's. Breathless, burning, heavy, and heat, as in hot and sweaty. When you get breathless, burning, feel heavy strain in your muscles and get hot and sweaty, these are indications that you are turning on certain beneficial hormonal responses. So let's go through these hormonal responses first so you can understand exactly how Metabolic 10 works before we get into some of the nutrition components of this. All right, so breathless. This is a big one to understand because a lot of people, when they think about exercise, they don't tend to think of a workout as being a good workout unless they are breathless. I call this the breathless trap. Essentially, what they're doing is they're doing workouts that only create breathless effects, and they actually wrongly assume if they're not getting breathless, then the workout's not doing anything. And the truth of the matter is that a breathless effect is simply focusing just on the cardio component. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. There's several ways to think about this. First, let's talk about slow walking, where you can talk to someone next to you. Then let's talk about picking it up into a jog. Now, if you're conditioned, you're still going to be able to easily talk to someone while doing a jog, if you're conditioned for jogging. If you're not conditioned for jogging, this is going to become intense for you, and you're not going to be able to talk. In other words, two people jogging, depending on their condition, one person may be able to stay aerobic, the other person goes anaerobic. In other words, for one person that has been doing this type of activity, jogging is not really conditioning in the same way that jogging might be for somebody who is deconditioned. Once you cross over the ability to talk and then to not talk, this is correlated with VO2 max. This is correlated to a switch from aerobic, mainly aerobically dominated physiology, to anaerobically dominated physiology. What a lot of people don't know is that anaerobic is automatically aerobic, right? What I mean by that is, in order to get anaerobic in your workouts, you first have to be aerobic. What happens is the chemistry here is that in the ability to supply the cell with energy, the mitochondria, these little energy factories inside the cell, have to basically produce ATP. And in order to do that, they have what all these mitochondrial shuttles that are shuttling around things like NAD and FAD, these compounds that basically carry protons and energy into the inner mitochondrial membrane so that ATP can be made. Well, as long as those shuttles are not maxed out, you can remain aerobic. But as soon as those shuttles become maxed out, you need to be anaerobic, because what happens is you're not able to produce the same amount of energy to keep up with demand. And what will happen is these protons will build up in the cell, causing an acidic environment and then causing fatigue. Now, what the body does to counteract that is release things like lactate and lactic acid, which buffer against this, and also can be used as a fuel and act as a signaling molecule for things like human growth hormone and things like that. But as soon as you go breathless, what does the body do? The body says, uh-oh, I better turn on my physiology a little bit more so I can meet the demands of this exercise. So it releases the fat-burning catecholamines, adrenaline, noradrenaline, and also other stress hormones like cortisol, which are designed to do several things. One, they dilate the lungs. They open up the lungs and the airway so you can get more oxygen in. The other thing they do is they speed heart rate. The other thing they do is they help to release blood sugars, or sugars rather, into the blood, and fat into the blood. So triglycerides and glucose go into the bloodstream to supply energy. So you're getting all this oxygen, the heart is pumping it around, and you're also getting fat burning and sugar usage when you go breathless. So when you go breathless and get more anaerobic, you're starting to basically turn on this physiology, and you want to turn on both adrenaline, noradrenaline. You want to turn on cortisol. You want that high when you're exercising. And you also want to get this lactic acid effect, because lactate triggers human growth hormone. So when you get breathless, you can be sure that I have now turned on the fat-burning catecholamines, adrenaline, noradrenaline, and perhaps some of this lactate response. When you get burning, the same thing begins to happen as it relates to lactate. When the muscles start burning, you might think that that burning effect is coming from lactic acid. It's actually not. Matter of fact, lactate is buffering against that burning effect. The burning effect is coming from proton buildup and an acidic environment in the cells. Lactic acid, which is formed by lactate binding with these protons, basically buffers against this. But lactic acid also is a signaling molecule, a hormonal molecule, signaling molecule that actually triggers human growth hormone. So when you get breathless and burning simultaneously, you're getting this really beautiful fat burning effect, and also a little bit of this muscle burning effect. You get noradrenaline and adrenaline triggered by this breathless effect, and then human growth hormone triggered a little bit by breathlessness, but a lot by burning. And then when you think about heavy, straining underneath heavy weight, this is really important, because that strain-inducing effect triggers testosterone release and a little bit of human growth hormone release. As a matter of fact, burning also triggers a little bit of testosterone release, but it's just more HGH. So when you think burning in your workouts, think a lot of HGH and a little bit of testosterone. When you think heavy straining effect, think more testosterone and a little bit of human growth hormone. And then hot and sweaty is the least important biofeedback signal. It is correlated with sympathetic activation. which is another indication that you're getting noradrenaline and adrenaline. So why am I going through all this biochemistry to explain this? Because what you really want in order to create a fat-burning workout and to get the benefits of muscle-building adaptation later is you want your workouts to be breathless, burning, heavy, and heat. You want them to simultaneously create this effect. This is why cardio only, which just does breathlessness, and weight training only, which only does strain and maybe a little bit of burning, are not as good as combining the two, especially if we're trying to be efficient in a workout and also develop a fully holistic athletic conditioning program that helps us burn fat and maintain or gain muscle. This is what Metabolic 10 is designed to do. And I just wanted you to understand this. In other words, it's designed to create this breathless, burning, heavy, and heat effect. Now, one of the interesting things about this is you can imagine if you're working out so intensely that you're getting breathless, that your muscles are burning, that your body is straining, you are not going to be able to just continue to do a workout like this without stopping. You are going to need to rest. And this is the whole idea behind the concept of rest-based training that my brother and myself developed way back in 2010 that we put in our first book. Rest-based training essentially says that the goal of a workout should be to push yourself to rest. You push yourself until you can't. You rest until you can. In other words, these workouts in Metabolic 10 are continuous, concurrent, integrated training, meaning that they continue. You do not rest unless you need to, and then you rest as long as you need to just get back in the workout. They're concurrent, meaning they combine both cardio and weight training, and they're integrated, meaning that you're doing both simultaneously. So you're pushing until you can't, you rest until you can. Remember that phrasing with the Metabolic 10 workouts: push until you can't, rest until you can, push until you can't, rest until you can. And so what happens in these workouts is that you're going until you can't. You rest until you can start right where you left off, and the workout continues like this. What this does and what is special about this is it individualizes the workout for each person. An 80-year-old unfit person can be working out right next to a 25-year-old super fit person. An elite athlete can be working out right next to a couch potato, doing the exact same workout, getting the perfect intensity matched to their conditioning. This is extremely important, and this is where one of the things that Metabolic 10 and all the workout programs that I've designed do. It allows you to individualize your conditioning, or your workout rather, to your conditioning. And so it creates an athletic conditioning program for people who are not athletic. It also allows those who are athletic to get a perfectly delivered, super intense workout for them. So everyone's doing the same exact workout, yet they are doing it at different intensities because we are allowing them to control when they rest, how long they rest for, and when they resume the workout. Now, in all these workouts, there will be a timer going. And so you do set your alarm, set your mobile device to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, perhaps 15 minutes, and just work your way through these movements. And this creates this perfect breathless, burning, heavy, and heat response that turns on all these hormonal reactions that are almost like the perfect hormonal soup to help you burn fat and build muscle, not just during the workout, but for hours and days after the workout. This is what Metabolic 10 is designed to do. This is why it's so powerful. Now, the Metabolic 10 workouts last 10 weeks. The program actually lasts 12 weeks because the first week of the program, you are actually doing a testing week to test where you are on these particular items, fitness tests. Things like, let's say, running a mile or maxing out on bench press, or how many push-ups can you do from your knees or from your toes, etc. Then you engage in the program for 10 weeks, 6 workouts, essentially, per week. And then you have a week where you retest to see how you fared, how you did. Obviously, what we want is to develop all the fitness parameters that we will be testing, as well as create an athletic-looking body. This particular program does that. Now, of course, if you're going to do an eat more, exercise more approach, if you're trying to burn fat, you're going to need to create a calorie deficit. However, if you want to simultaneously hold on to muscle and or gain some muscle, you're going to also want to have a very high energy flux of fuel and nutrients coming into the body. And this is why we feed the body, we fuel the body to push us during exercise. And so with this EMEM Metabolic 10 approach, we are right on the edge of calorie deficits and calorie excess. So we're just slightly on that edge, feeding the body in a particular way, really creating a high energy flux. This is really sort of important to know. And we also need to understand how this works as it relates to diet. Now, just briefly, I'll tell you about the moves, these 10 sort of moves in the Metabolic 10 system. There's push. These would be presses and things like that, overhead presses, bench presses, and things like that. There are actually pulls, right, where you actually are pulling weight to you. There's squats, which is a key, obviously, for lower body strength. There's lunges, basically the need to be able to move and lunge and basically have that flexibility in the posterior and anterior chain of the lower body. There's also hinge, right, where you actually are doing hip hinges, things like deadlifts and things like kettlebell swings and things of that nature. Of course, then there is running, and there is jumping, and there is sprinting, which is a little bit different than sort of running and jumping and things like that. And so we're essentially building all these things into this. And you'll actually have a skill work in there as well. Of course, there's core movements, things that actually really push and work the core. And then there are actually, what's built into this is things like grip strength and things of that nature as well. And so you're getting these particular movements that are built into this to create a well-rounded effect, very much like we might do in a bodybuilding situation where we're working all of the muscle groups, and very much like we might do in a CrossFit or more functional workout program where we're doing all of the moves. So these Met 10 exercises are really designed to have you move your body in all directions and all planes, and also to be able to teach you these fitness parameters, or not necessarily teach you, but develop these all these different fitness parameters, right? So this is what you need to understand about the actual Metabolic 10 system in general. And when you are designing your workouts, one of the ways that this is designed is you really want to be thinking about different aspects of development. In this workout, you're going to be working strength, getting stronger. You're going to be working stamina, which is essentially pushing the body at very high levels for very long periods of time. Stamina is a little different than endurance. The way I think about it, stamina is basically like high output for longer periods of time, whereas endurance is just the longer piece. Stamina puts intensity on it. How intensely can you go for how long? You're going to be essentially building this quality in these Metabolic 10 workouts. You're also working on skill, right, where you're actually going to be working on different skills and things like that, like maybe working on integrative movements like a power clean or things like jump ropes and double unders and things like that. And of course, based on your skill, you may be jumping in place without a rope at all, or you may just be coming off your toes, or you may be doing double unders or single unders or things like that. And in Metabolic 10, you actually can do this strictly with and only with a set of dumbbells is all you really need. So it can be done at home, although we prescribe with barbells and kettlebells and all that kind of stuff. So you could do this at a full-scale CrossFit center, or you could do this program at your home. So strength, stamina, skill, and suppleness. You know, these basically four S's. And what do I mean by suppleness? I mean that obviously if you're going to do a workout program, you want it to actually build your body so that you actually move better as a result of doing it, not worse. So this is what Metabolic 10 workouts basically do. Now, if you're a beginner, Metabolic 10 is not necessarily the program I would recommend that beginners start with. This is more designed for intermediates and advanced individuals. However, if you are someone who's just like, listen, I like new challenging things, I'm a beginner, I want to try this, then typically I don't recommend doing this Metabolic 10 workout more than 3 times per week. Now, if you are an intermediate type of person and you've done some bodybuilding and or some CrossFit, then I recommend doing this 4 times per week. And if you are advanced, I recommend doing it 5 to 6 times per week. Now, let's get into the nutrition component of Metabolic 10, because I think this might be the thing that's most interesting to all of you. Now, when I did the nutrition component for Metabolic 10 and these 10 foods, I wanted to come up with the most simple way of talking about nutrition. Very simple, intuitive approach. Now, obviously, simple, intuitive approaches sometimes require that you go backwards and start tracking, weighing, and measuring all of the foods that you're eating. This is an important piece. A lot of people think that quality of food is more important than quantity, or some people think quantity of food is more important than quality. Some people think it's all about the types of healthy foods you're eating, and if you only eat healthy, you're going to lose fat and look the way you want. And some people realize that, no, you have to, doesn't matter, even if you have healthy foods, you can overeat and still not lose weight. Well, Metabolic 10 merges these two. They're not separate, actually. Quality and quantity are synergistic. They are the same things in a sense. But most of the time, if you eat better quality foods, you can typically eat as many of those foods as you want for many people and end up creating calorie deficits or getting the effects you want. Now, of course, in an athletic training program like Metabolic 10, an EMEM type of system, intuitive approaches tend to work a little bit better than they would otherwise. They work for fat loss, but oftentimes for fat loss specifically, without worrying about what, you know, muscle loss and things like that, you know, sometimes you need to have a weighing and measuring effect. Calories absolutely matter. Now, when you're doing EMEM or an athletic conditioning program, you don't need to worry about it as much. Intuitive programs work a little bit better in this way. And so this diet program can be used whether you're going to be doing Metabolic 10 or not. This Metabolic 10 system is really separate with the nutrition component and the exercise component. But this particular program merges both. And so let's go through the way that I like to look at nutrition here. Now, when you think of nutrition, what you want in my mind is what I would call metabolic meals or a metabolic eating program. What would a metabolic eating program consist of? Well, it essentially achieves several very important goals, each very important, especially when we're talking about an athletic training program where you need to recover and make sure you have adequate nutrition. What we want when we have a metabolic program is we want a program that, one, satisfies hunger, okay, that will make sure that you are satiated and satisfied, right? So it needs to have hunger suppression, especially when you're doing more exercise, which can ramp up hunger. We've already talked about that at the beginning of this podcast. So it needs to be hunger suppressing. It also needs to create lower calorie effects so that you can burn fat. You want to entice the body to use its own energy stores to recover, repair, and adapt, right? So we want it to have calorie reduction. We don't want to have a program that has calorie excess and you not lose any fat. We don't want to be building muscle under a layer of fat that we never burn. And we also want nutrient density, very nutrient dense things. When you exercise, sure, you're using up calories, but perhaps more importantly, you're using up nutrients like zinc and magnesium and amino acids and all of these kinds of things that your body needs to do the work that it needs to do. And so when we think about this, the Metabolic 10 program naturally does this in a very simple way. The 10 foods essentially go like this: soups, salads, scrambles, shakes slash smoothies, stir fries, skillet meals, sours, things like vinegar-based dressings and fermented foods and things like that, spices. And that basically brings us to 8 foods. Now, the 9th and 10th food are the part that are a little bit more flexible. And you may notice they all start with S's. You know how I like to do this. It's just easier for you to remember. So soups, salads, scrambles, shakes, stir fries, skillets, sours, spices, and then some of your favorite food and very subtle amounts of fat, starch, sugar, alcohol, and salt. So let me say that again. Soup, salad, scramble, shake, stir fry, skillet meals, sours, spices, subtle amounts of fat, starch, sugar, salt, and alcohol, and some of your favorite foods. Now, when you listen to this, what you'll immediately hopefully gravitate towards, you'll say, Jade, what do you mean by subtle amounts of fat, starch, sugar, salt, and alcohol? Well, fat, starch, sugar, salt, and alcohol are the major calorie-adding macronutrients and nutrients to your meals. And so when you think about soup, salad, scrambles, shakes, stir fries, and skillet meals, you want to be thinking about low-carb, low-fat soups, salads, scrambles, shakes, stir fries, and skillet meals, right? You want to be thinking about low-carb and low-fat, not because there's anything at all wrong with starch, sugar, fat, salt, and alcohol, although we could make a strong argument that alcohol probably is not anything anyone needs in their diet. Certainly, fat and starch are absolutely needed in the diet. It's simply to say that subtle amounts of those essentially says you need enough, but not too much. Enough fat and sugar and starch, but not too much. The other thing about fat, sugar, starch, alcohol, and salt is that the combination of these foods are highly palatable. And one way or another, in combination or separately, these foods typically cause you to eat more and crave more of highly palatable foods. This is why we want subtle amounts of these things. Anyone who's ever had a cheat meal and really overeaten pizza, burgers, or other foods that combine sugar, salt, starch, and fat, realize that when you do that, that cheat meal oftentimes turns into a cheat week or cheat month because of the hedonistic, palatable impact of these foods. This is why you want subtle amounts. Think about using them as condiments only. A little bit of feta cheese sprinkled on a salad, right? A little bit of a taste maybe of honey or a little bit of sugar in your coffee, or a little bit of oil in your dressings, making your dressings with far more vinegars than fat. That's one of the reasons why we talk about sours. You say, well, Jade, what is a sour? Sour salad dressings. Obviously, you're going to be eating a lot of salads, and so you want salad dressings that are more heavily towards the sour end of things, and these are vinegar-based dressings that have more vinegar and less oil. And this is important because vinegar-based stuff can have an appetite-suppressing effect. And they also, these vinegar-based things, also stimulate digestive secretions, digestive enzymes, helping us break down our foods a little bit better, making it easier on our digestive tract. And so soup, salad, scramble shakes, stir fries, skillet meals, sours, spices, and here we have all the spices to make your foods taste good, but that don't also add calories to the mix. Another example of a great sour, by the way, would be things like, mustards and srirachas and these kinds of things. They kind of combine vinegars and these spices. And so you definitely want to make your food taste really good with sours and spices in the cooking process, but not be adding lots of oils. And so subtle amounts only of these particular things, meaning things rich in fat, sugar, starch, alcohol, and or their combinations. Now, some of your favorite food is important. And this is critical to understand because most of us, our favorite foods are going to be the very foods I just told you to have subtle amounts of. This is why I'm using the word subtle and some. I'm trying to keep this alliteration going with these 10 S's, but I'm also trying to say you want to control these things a little bit. Now, when it comes to your favorite foods, there's two types of favorite foods. I call them buffer foods and trigger foods. Now, both buffer foods and trigger foods are foods that you love. You like these foods. However, buffer foods help you eat better and less. Trigger foods make you eat worse and more. So these are foods that you like to eat, and forget what their healthy perception is. These could be healthy foods or unhealthy foods. For example, someone eating a salad, that could be a trigger food for somebody. A salad may not satisfy and then lead to eating a burger later, right? That would be a trigger food. Likewise, something like wine can be a buffer food. Some people have wine with dinner and are less likely to get seconds and have dessert or eat or drink more wine. And so when you think about some of your favorite food, what you want to be thinking about is specifically buffer foods. Foods that you know you love that also do not trigger you eating more and worse. This is highly important. Subtle amounts of highly palatable foods that combine fat, sugar, starch, salt, and alcohol, and some of your favorite foods, not trigger foods, but buffer foods. And what this does when you add all this together is create a really powerful, hunger-suppressing, low-calorie, nutrient-dense diet that is very easy to understand how to do. And so you're combining this Metabolic 10 nutrition program with this Metabolic 10 workout program, and you're getting the perfect diet to match for a perfect EMEM, eat more, exercise more approach to fitness and fat loss and muscle gain. This is important to understand. Now, a little bit more about this diet. If you think about it for a minute, it's a lot of salads. Think about it. Soups are just wet salads. Salads, of course, are salads. Scrambles are basically egg salads, right? Eggs with vegetables in them. Stir fries and skillets are basically hot salads, right? Especially when you're not adding a bunch of fat and starch into that. And then shakes slash smoothies are essentially fruit salads or a protein shake. So this doesn't fit completely, but obviously it's almost like a fruit salad. Now with the shakes and smoothies, you just want to be careful, especially with the smoothies, to be a little bit careful adding lots and lots of sugar-based stuff in here. A lot of people will want to put in juice, which is highly calorie dense with lots of sugars, and also want to be using lots and lots of more of the sweeter fruits. Typically, this is not a problem. Adding a banana in, adding cherries, adding blueberries, and having these smoothies typically give us a lot of water. Fruits are very rich in water, very rich in nutrients, and also adequate in sugar. But when you're exercising like crazy, these sugars in these fruits are going to be used up. And so these are foods that you want to be thinking about. However, if you're someone who loses fat and has a very difficult time losing fat, you may want to move away from the very sweet fruits and instead with your smoothies, use things like berries, low sugar fruits like berries and apples and pears, and maybe be adding in some fresh produce like chard or spinach or other things that you can blend up with these fruits. Shakes and smoothies is an important one. They're kind of two different things, but I do lump them together here. Smoothies are more fruit and vegetable oriented, just blended up. Shakes, typically what I mean by that is protein shakes and meal replacements. What you want when you think about protein shakes and meal replacements is you do not want to make these big boo-boo, jumbo, calorie-loaded shakes if you are trying to lose fat. What a lot of people will do is they'll be like, oh, I'm going to have a shake and I'm going to add protein powder, and then I'm going to add, you know, peanut butter in there. Then I'm going to add banana, and then I'm going to add some super duper, you know, rainforest super noni juice or something with a lot of sugar in it or something like that. You do not want to necessarily do that with these shakes. You want to use low calorie liquids, water, low calorie almond milk, skim milks, things like that to mix this stuff with. And then you want to be adding in protein powders primarily. Now, there's a difference between a protein shake, protein powder, and a meal replacement. Protein powders, when you look on the label, are almost all protein. You might see something like 25 grams of protein, 2 grams of fat, 2 grams of carbohydrate. Now, in a meal replacement, you'll see something like 20 grams of protein, 20 grams of carbohydrate, and maybe 5 or 6 grams of fat. Now, when it comes to these protein shakes, you could do either. Right now, if you're someone who wants to really be focusing on gaining muscle and is a hard gainer, in other words, you tend to be lean naturally and just want to gain muscle, you want to move more towards smoothies that are more meal replacements, shakes that are more meal replacements, and smoothies that might be a little higher calorie. If you are someone who is trying to lose fat, you might want to move towards shakes that are more protein shakes and smoothies that are lower in calories. But the fact remains, these 10 foods tend to be hugely important here. Now, let me say a little bit of something else about buffer foods. You want to, with these some of your favorite foods, you want to have these buffer foods or buffer meals, foods that you love, that tend to satisfy you, that tend not to make you overeat. Here's an example of this, by the way. For most people, burgers and pizza are going to be trigger foods. You eat those, you just want another slice of pizza, and you want another burger, especially if you add French fries to that, right? We all know that French fries and potato chips are notorious for making us want to eat more and more of those foods. You know, you can't just have one, right? However, for some people, a burger without the French fries, let's say, can be an incredible meal that satisfies them all night and keeps them from binging and overeating. And so you want to get very specific about your individual habits here. Now, what you're going to do during the metabolic 10-10 weeks is you are going to be very strict with these 10 foods: soups, salads, scrambles, shakes, stir fries, skillets, sours, spices, subtle amounts of fat, sugar, starch, alcohol, and salt, and some of your favorite foods, leaning heavily towards buffer foods. You're going to want to be very, very clear with that. As many of those buffer foods as you possibly can. Then, if you're not getting results and you're feeling like I am eating too much food, then you can start using something like MyFitnessPal to begin tracking, weighing, and measuring and start counting calories. And within Metabolic 10 in the nutrition program, there's a whole discussion there on how to calculate calories and macros for individuals who want to be more specific and don't want this intuitive nutrition program that I just laid out. But this is the Metabolic 10 system. And this is the system, even if you're never going to be doing Metabolic 10 and aren't going to participate in this, which will be perhaps the last launch of Metabolic 10, we will see. Even if you're not going to participate in the new year in this particular program, what you hopefully now understand is that if you are wanting to look good, feel good, live longer, function better, look like you fit, look like an athlete, you're going to want to begin gravitating towards workouts that are mainly resistance training focused, that use a concurrent type of approach where they're combining cardio and weights in one and integrating them in a particular way that give you full functional holistic fitness by having you push and press and lunge and squat and hinge and all and jump and run and sprint, etc. Right? We want you not just to be strong and be able to have endurance. We want you to have strength and stamina and have certain skills in fitness and be able to remain supple and flexible. And we also want you to learn how to eat and match your dietary intake with your physical output by following the Metabolic 10 nutrition system. Soup, salad, scrambled shakes, stir-fry skillets, sours, spices, subtle amounts of these highly palatable hedonistic foods, and some of your favorite foods, mainly buffer foods. And by the way, you might say, Jade, what does some, like, what does that mean? Obviously, if you're eating buffer foods and it helps you do well, then at least once per day, perhaps twice per day, it depends on your results. Maybe some people are like, nope, I only need these buffer foods 3 times per week. But maybe someone else is like, no, I need these buffer foods daily, and sometimes multiple times daily if I'm going to be able to stay on this program. So you have to use your judgment there as well. But I'm hopefully giving you some background into creating your own workout program if you don't want to do Metabolic 10 and your own new nutrition program. As a matter of fact, this Metabolic 10 nutrition program is by far the simplest nutrition program I have ever come up with. And I would argue, based on my clinical experience, that it is the most effective. I'd also argue that based on the research, it's the most feasible. This is an off-the-shelf, intuitive-based nutrition program that everyone can remember, all these S's, and everyone can do. And so I hope that this will help you. Now, a couple other things here that I'll mention. One of the sponsors of this podcast is a great thing to be using. And I always like to mention them because when we talk about shakes, especially protein shakes, not everybody loves protein shakes. Yet protein shakes are perhaps one of the most powerful things that someone can do to maintain their diet. Let's face it, it is not easy to control your diet, and protein is one of the most important things. We've seen over and over again in the research that a low-calorie diet with protein, adequate protein, is what helps you stay on that low-calorie diet in the first place. Well, this is tough because some people don't like protein shakes, nor can they tolerate protein shakes. And so one of the things you want to be looking for is other protein that you can incorporate that easily travel. Well, Paleo Valley meat sticks do that. These things are a easily accessible protein source that you can essentially just peel back and essentially eat these particular things and have the protein you need. So if you're not going to do shakes, you really want to have other things there. Meat sticks, cold cuts, these kinds of things that make a difference. Now, if you are a vegan or vegetarian and you're listening to me talk, hopefully you can see that this diet that I'm outlining for you is easily achieved for you as well. Soup, salad, scrambles, shakes, stir fries, skillet meals, sours, and spices, all you need to do is take out the animal food. If you're ovo-lacto vegetarian, then you can leave in some of the eggs and dairy foods. But if you're not, all this essentially means is you're going to be eating mainly produce and fruit. One of the big problems many vegans and vegetarians have is they're usually what I call starchitarians and starchins. They actually eat more starch and more sugar than a lot of meat eaters because they are replacing these calories with empty starch and empty sugar calories. So all you need to do if you're a vegan or vegetarian is realize we're moving mainly towards vegetables. All of us, whether you're a meat eater or a vegan or vegetarian, should be eating most of our intake in the form of vegetables, right? I actually know plenty of meat eaters who eat far more vegetables than some vegans and vegetarians I know because of the need to eat lots and lots of fat and starch if you are a vegan or vegetarian to stay satisfied. So what you want to do as a vegan or vegetarian is make sure you have good protein sources. Hemp, pea, rice protein powders do fantastic, right? They really do well. And then what you want to do is with your starches, opt for higher fiber, higher protein starches like lentils and beans and things like that. But mainly realizing that soup, salad, scrambled shakes, and stir fries mean low calorie, low fat, low starch soup, salad, scrambled shakes, stir fries, and skillet meals, which means lots and lots of vegetables for you vegans and vegetarians. All right, so I've been going on for a while now. Hopefully this podcast was interesting to you. Please check out Paleo Valley and their meat sticks. They are a sponsor. They are something that makes a big difference for me, and I think they will for you. Use the code NEXTLEVEL on checkout, and you will get a discount. All right, that's it for me on the podcast today. Please do me a favor. Let me know what you thought of this particular podcast. Go over to iTunes. Give me a shout out. Give me some feedback there. I love when I see those reviews come in. I also love, and I get a lot of this when you guys DM me and ask for episodes that you would like me to do. And also, if you want to get involved with Metabolic 10, Metabolic 10 is now available on my site, jadetita.com, for a little bit of time. And if you get on my email list, you'll get the promotional materials for Metabolic 10 starting January 1. All right, everybody, thanks so much for hanging out, and I will see you at the next podcast.